The following shiur has been presented by Rav Moshe Abramchik, Poisek at the Beis Chabad Linyani Mishpat, and is brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center.
Misach HaSukkah, Daf Lamed Dalet. The Gemara on Amud Aleph, towards the bottom, Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista discusses three things that Shtani Shemayu, that their name changed after the Churban. And the Gemara, after it lists the three, mentions that Abaya adds one. And then the Gemara mentions from Rabba Bar Yosef, Avani Oimer, I will also add Bovel Bursif, Bursif Bovel. That the name of the place Bovel changed to Bursif, and the name of the place Bursif changed to Bovel. The Mai Nafkamina, so the Gemara explains, Legite Noshim, it's a Nafkamina Legite Noshim. Rashi explains here, what does it mean Legite Noshim? Because we know, Kaimalon, Hamevi get mechutz laaretz. If somebody brings a get from chutz laaretz, he has to say before nechtav or before nechtam. Either because ein mitzuyin l'kaimoi. If somebody brings a get from chutz laaretz to Yisrael, there are no edim available to be mekayim the signatures that are on the get. Ve'im mishum de ein bekiyin l'shma, or because of ein bekiyin l'shma, the people in chutz laaretz are not baki to write the get l'shma, so the shliach has to say it was written Lishma, and it was signed Lishma. And as we know, there's a sugya in the beginning of Gittin, Marach, Machlokes, Rabbah, and Rabbah, and these reasons. So Rashi continues that if somebody brings a get in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't have to say Bifanei Nechta, Bifanei Nechtam. For both of these reasons, because in Eretz Yisrael, there are Bekiyim Lishma, and the Oile Regolim are always available to recognize signatures of the Eidim. So Rashi explains that it says there in Gittin that Bovel is carried to Yisrael Gittin, that people bringing a get from Bovel don't have to say b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechtam, because number one, they're b'nei Torah, so they know l'shma, and the b'nei yeshiva are constantly going back and forth, so we have eidim mitzuyin l'kaimai. And the chiddush of our Gemara, of Rav Bar Yosef, is that even though Bursif is samach l'Bovel, it's near Bovel, and they're not b'nei Torah. Rashi quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the word Bursif comes from Bar Shashafo es Meimav, and the Gemara Darshan is there that they weren't Bnei Torah, and somebody bringing from Bursif needs to say Bafanei Nechta, Bafanei Nechta. However, since the Churban, when the Bovel changed to Bursif and Bursif changed to Bovel, it's important to know that if somebody brings a get from what was then called Bovel, needed to say Bafanei Nechta, Bafanei Nechta, but from Bursif not. Tosfos quotes Rashi at the end of Mamem Adlikin that offers a different pshat in Rav Bar Yosef. Rashi at the end of Mamem Adlikin explains that when it says Nafkamina Le'inyan Gittin, Le'inyan Gittin Noshim, it doesn't mean Le'inyan Bifanei Nechta, Bifanei Nechtam, to know if we have to say Bifanei Nechta, Bifanei Nechtam when we bring a get from Bavel or from Bursif, but rather we know that we have to write the name of the man and the name of the woman and the name of the man's city and the woman's city in a get. So Rashi says that the Gemara is telling us that when you write the name of Bovel or Bursif, you have to write the correct name in the get. And since it is no longer what it was in the time of the Churban, you have to write today's city, not to be confused with what it used to be. Tosfos asks on Rashi that we know we don't write a shame of a Medina in a get. We only write the shame of the ear, of the city. A Medina is larger than a city. And we don't write the shame of the Medina. We write the shame of the ear. And if there's another city with the same name, we write other simonim, we write Naharais. We don't generally write the name of the Medina in a get. And this minig, not to write the Medina in the get, this halacha is quoted in the Sefer Tiv Gittin, which was written by Rav Chaim Zalman Magalis in his Tiv Gittin, by Shemois Ayorois Sifkot Vav. He quotes a tshuva from Tshuvas Mari. There was a city Brisk, beside the city in Lita, there was a city Brisk in Kiev, and they wrote in this get of Brisk, Brisk de Kiev. The Brisk that was in Kiev, as opposed to differentiated between the Brisk that was in Lita. And he discusses there that since there are other simonim, that like the name Anaharis, there's no reason at all to write the shame Amadina Beget. the Sefer Atei Besomim from Rav Mendel Sendarovic from Milwaukee, he quotes the Tshuva Levi Yehuda and Amnei Zikaron that discuss this issue that we don't write Medina in the Get, and he quotes from other Achronim, and he says that they bring a Raya from our Tosfos that specifically we don't write the Medina in the Get, because if we would write the Medina as a Siman occasionally, then what's Tosfos' Kasha on Rashi? Tosfos is asking, we don't write the Medina in the Get. That's true, we don't write it for no reason. But if we need to write the Medina in the Get, we write it. So they bring a Raya from Tosfos that we actually, Dafka don't write the Medina in the Get, we only write the city. Albeit that in Shalos Hatshuvos Melamed Lahayil, Chelek Gimel Siman Chav Ches and Lamed Tes, he does explain that when we absolutely have no choice with other simonim, and it's very confusing because of the rivers are the same, so there we would use the name of the Medina to differentiate. However, what the Achronim, these Tshuvos that are quoted by Atei Besamim, the Levi Yehuda and Amnei Zikaron, what they ask is specifically in the name of the city Cleveland that's written in Gittin. That there the minig is to write Cleveland, Ohio, which is not the minig in any other city, Kemat, except for the few exceptions mentioned in the Poskim where they were very confused between which two cities, such as Brisk, where even there the Tivkitin says it wasn't necessary to write the name of the Medina, and some other cities that it was necessary. But other than a few exceptions, we generally do not write the name of a city in the Get, the name of the Medina in the Get. We only write the name of the city. So they asked, why was it that in the city of Cleveland, till today, the minig is to write Cleveland, Ohio? Just as a hakdama to understand why, as we explain why they write Cleveland, Ohio, the Pesachei Tshuva in Siman Kuf Chof Ches and Evan HaEzer Sifkot Yud Zayin quotes the Tshuva's Maharam Brisk about the name of the city Brisk of Litta in Gittin. There, in Brisk, they didn't write Brisk with a Kuf at the end, they wrote it with a Tes at the end, Brisk of Rest. That was the name of the city as it was written in Litta in the Gittin. And the Maram Brisk talks about the fact that although that used to be the name of the city before it was called Brisk, but that name had long been stopped being used. And we see from Rashi, the Rashi we quoted earlier in Vamem Adlikin, by Bovel Borsev, our Gemara, Bovel Borsev, Borsev Bovel, the Rashi explains we write the current name, we don't write old names. If a name gets changed and it's Nishtaka, it is no longer used at all, we write the current name. So the Maram Brisk was discussing why is it that in Brisk they wrote the old name of the city as opposed to writing the new name, Brisk. And he explains that when a name of a city is in Gittin, constantly, even though the name of the city amongst the multitudes of people and the crowd doesn't get used as that, and in legal reasons it gets changed, but it's in Gittin, they're constantly writing Gittin, and they're constantly using that name, that itself creates that it's called not Nishtaka, it's not called an unused name. And they would continue writing the old name of Brisk, even though the name of Brisk changed and nobody remembered, nobody used anymore, any longer the old name. So Mendel Sendarovic explains that the earliest Gittin in Cleveland were written in the 1850s, Be'erach, entire Yud Dalit, Tofresh Yud Dalit. At that time, the city Cleveland, as we know it today, extended till the east side of the Cuyahoga River. Today it passes on beyond the Cuyahoga River, but at that time, the city of Cleveland only went till the east side of the Cuyahoga River. And on the other side of the river, there was another city that was called Ohio City. Around that time, Taya Dalit in 1850s, the two cities joined together, and when they were being Kaveya, how to write the names of the city, Cleveland, at that point everyone still remembered the name Ohio City. So they combined the two names, Cleveland, Ohio, not referring to the state Ohio, referring to the city Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, similar to the idea of Tel Aviv Yafo, which is a combination of two names of two cities that combined not to be referring to a state. And since then, we've had Bezdin of Gittin, writing Gittin. They kept the name Cleveland, Ohio, even though the name Ohio, which is Ohio City, is long forgotten and long not used. They kept that name. So historically speaking, although the Achronim asked why it was that they wrote the name of the Medina in Cleveland, Ohio, they were asking based on the understanding that the word Ohio was coming from the state. But as the Sefer Atzei B'Somim demonstrated, the word Ohio wasn't referring to the state, it was referring to the city, Ohio City, and that's why they write till today in Cleveland, Cleveland, Ohio, as opposed to any other city that only writes the city, they're also only writing the city.
The following shiur has been presented by Rav Chaim Weg, Reish Kollel of the Scranton Community Kollel, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Sukkah Daf Lamed Daled. On today's daf, the Mishnah lists off all the various problems which could make a Esrog puzzle. One of the things listed in our Mishnah is that Chaser Kol Shu puzzle. If the Esrog is Chaser, even the smallest amount, the Esrog is puzzle. The Mishnah goes on to discuss Chazazis and Maris Psuleis. If the Esrog is Kushi, the Esrog is black, is puzzle. And the Gemara on Dav Lamed Hamed Beis says that the Chaitmai, if these Maris Psulis, the Chazazis, the black dots, are found on the Chaitmai, the top of the Esrog, so then they also pasel the Kolshu. So a Mela, a Chaser Kolshu pasels an Esrog, and a Kolshu of Chazazis, or of Kushi, of black, on the Chaitim, would pasel an Esrog. The Shaila is, which faces many people when they go ahead and they want to buy an Esrog, is what is the size of a Kolshu? How big is a Chaser Kolshu, and how big is a black dot, a Mara Shachar, or a Chazazis of Kolshu? So Kiveger, in the Sefer Drush V'Chiddush, on page Peches, he says a Gvaldik Yisayt, a chilik between the psul of Chaser Kolshu and the psul of Mara Pasul, either Shachar, or could be even Chazazis of a Kolshu. Kiveger is like this. We're going to discuss in a future shir that really the various psulim that we find by an esrog can be divided into several categories. There are some psulim which the shame psul is called lekichatama v'lakachtem lochem. Chazal darshan from v'lakachtem lochem that it must be a lekichatama, a complete lekicha, which means that every one of the arba minim have to be complete. There are also certain psulim which go into the category of hadar, that it has to be beautiful. There are some psulim which have to do with the hider of the esrog of the arba minim. Zokrim kiva eger, that is a yisoidistik achilik between a psul chaser and a psul hadar. A psul chaser, which has to lakichatama, is totally on the mitzis. Is it chaser or isn't it chaser? And therefore, even if the only way to notice this chesaron is by looking very, very closely and looking very carefully, the lashon of Rabbi Kiva Ege is that's only nira besimas ayin. It's only nira if you look at it very carefully. The lashon of the Prima Gadim is kishem ayin bay. So that is a chesaron in Tama. The nearest Zokta Rukiveger. Besimas ayin bidiuk. Even if you have to look at it very, very carefully, very exactly, posel is posel, deloi mikri tama. It's not considered to be a lakicha tama. The mitzias is that this esrog is not complete, and therefore anything which has to do with the psul chaser, the shear of kolshu is even a kolshu which can only be noticed bi'iyun if you look at it very carefully, you look at it from very close, and you look at it with diuk. However, Zokim Kiveger, that's all what's negated to the psul chaser. Because lemaisa, it's not a lakichat tam, it's not complete. When we come to the psule hadar, so hadar is totally on, how does it catch the eye? Does it look beautiful or doesn't it look beautiful? So therefore, if the first look, if the way it hits you is beautiful, even if only after Iyun do you notice the chesaron of hadar, so then the esrog is still kosher, the esrog is still mohadar. The Chuvus Ma'bitz, which is brought in part by the Magad Avraham in Siman Tov Reish Mem Ches of Katan Tezayin, says, "Ein a nikra kolshu ela shenira l'chol adam." The shear of kolshu is something which everybody could see. V'einam nir la'ayin machmas takusam. If you can't see it because it's very small, v'tzorach l'stakel b'hem harbe k'deishu nirgish b'ria. You have to look at it very hard in order to catch it. That one person, he sees the esrog 100% hadar. This is not called a kolshu. The esrog is still kosher. The Shulchan Aruch Harav also says, we're not talking about a shinui mara, which you have to concentrate hard to see it. And he says that kol shinei mara ain't a pesel, a shinei mara does not become pesel, elim ke nir l'roiv bnei adam v'ashkof rishena. It has to be noticeable to roiv bnei adam v'ashkof rishena. So again, when we're dealing with chaser, if something is be'emes and missing, so it's a felton l'kichatama. But what's negayat to hadar, it has to be something which a person catches his eyes v'ashkof rishena. The question which we have to address now is, how is one supposed to be holding the esrog when he spins it, when he looks at it, to see whether it's near b'ashkof rishayna? Because the metzias is that the closer the esrog is to one's eyes, the easier it is to see. One will see smaller things. The further the esrog is from one's eyes, one will only notice larger things. So, the lashon of the mabit is, ki me'rias enoi ad yodai. It's master from him that you're holding it biyada, you're holding it like one normally holds something in their hands, I guess the length, arm's length, or maybe from the elbow to the elbow next to one's body, and holding up the esrog, and that basically is the distance that one is supposed to look at the esrog with. The lashon of the Shulchan Aruch Rav is shirnir la'ayin kishoichsei biyada. You hold it in your hand, like one normally holds something. You look at it, and if you see it bashkaf rishayna, then halachically it's there. If you don't see it bashkaf rishayna, then halachically it is not there. The Peskim address is one mechuyev, or should I say, does the ria from a magnifying glass convey anything in the halachas of the Arba Minim? And this could be negeya both to the psulei chaser and to the psulei hadar. What's negeya to the psulei chaser? So we said that any mashu will passel the esrog. What happens if this mashu is only nireh with a magnifying glass? It cannot be seen by the naked eye. This shaila could also be negated to the psul hadar. Because a psul hadar, a black dot will passel an esrog, a brown dot will not passel an esrog. What happens if when you hold the esrog at arm's length, the dot seems to be black? However, if you take a magnifying glass and you look at it carefully, then you see that the dot is brown. What is the halachic ramifications of a magnifying glass? So, Reb Shlomo Zalman in Halicha Shlomo discusses, and he says very strongly, that a magnifying glass is not keveya any of the dinei Torah. That the dinei Torah are given lefi the normal senses, lefi the normal chush ha'ri'ah, and a magnifying glass is not keveya the halacha. And this is Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. If a chesaron can only be noticed with a magnifying glass, without the magnifying glass, one does not see the chesaron, that chesaron is not chaser. Hu adin zakar shtayim zalman, bugs, which are aser ba'achila, if one cannot see the bug with the naked eye, the bug is only noticeable with a magnifying glass. Once again, that bug is not from the bugs that the Torah asked. It could be the Gea Tamaris Domim. If there's microscopic blood, that microscopic blood would not make an Isha into a Nida, because Halacha is decided by normal vision, and it's not decided by vision which is not natural vision. Rosh Chaim Zalman says that if you notice something, you see it, and then the magnifying glass is mevar that is taka al chasaron or is taka the bug, then avada it's aser. However, if one does not notice it at all without the magnifying glass or without does not notice it at all, then it's not a bug, and this type of chasaron is not a chasaron on an esrog. Hu adin zakar shleim zalman, that it goes the other way. If the only way one can tell that the dot is brown and not black is from the magnifying glass, so then halachically it will be considered to be a black dot. And this is the gate to other things also. If you have two letters in a Sefer Torah, which to the naked eye they seem to be touching, and with the magnifying glass you see they're not touching, halachically they're touching. If you have a ice which is by the edge of the parchment and therefore does not seem to be Mukav Kvil, when you take a magnifying glass, it is Mukav Kvil. So then, again, if it's a naked eye, it does not seem to be Mukav Kvil, so then it's not Mukav Kvil. To the naked eye, it seems that it's touching, then halakhli it's touching. The magnifying glass cannot be Mekel. Now, on a practical level, very often, if one has a dot and he's not sure if it's brown or black, once he looks at the magnifying glass and he sees that it's brown, then he'll see it brown when he looks at it with the naked eye. The same with letters touching. Once one has seen under the magnifying glass that they are not touching, so then, generally speaking, one will now be able to trust what he thought beforehand, that there's a reasonable chance that they are not trusting, and he'll see it as such. However, halacha is not nikva by what one sees with a magnifying glass. Rosh Chaim Zalman goes on to say another fascinating nekuda, and the Maizmanim also touches on this. The question is, do we have to be cheshish that bizman hazeh, maybe our eyesight is not as good as it used to be in previous generations? In Evan Ozel, he brings from Rav David Baran something very fascinating. Chazal tell us that a short time after the Shkia, one sees Gimel Kechavim Beinim, which the Shaila is that the Metzias, as we see it, we don't see it like that. We don't see this Kechavim so close to Nacht. So Rav David Baran tainas that the reason is because our eyesight is not as good. He brings the Gemara in Bechayrus. The Gemara in Bechayrus says that an Araya, that an average shepherd, was able to see Tezayin Mil. That's 16 times 2,000 Amos. Obviously, the average person today does not see so far. So, therefore, maybe Rav Rand wants to suggest that they saw the stars earlier because they had better vision. And lefi that it would follow that din Torah is nikva lefi their vision, not lefi our vision. So the Maidim is Madam Tainas that maybe it's Mechlal not Araya. Maybe the reason why they saw better than us is because their ear was less polluted. We have more pollution. The ear is not as clear. There's more things going on. Maybe it has nothing to do with our eyesight. Maybe our far vision is not as good, but our close vision is as good. But Rosh Chaim Zalman b'chlal yarkus. Rosh Chaim Zalman said that the Torah was given b'chol der v'der l'fi that der v'der. And our responsibility is to pass the Torah with our eyesight, and therefore if a person has good, decent eyesight, lefi the norms of the dar, lefi that we paskin which bugs are near leinayim, we paskin which dots on the esrig are near leinayim, we paskin which eyes are touching each other, and everything is totally on the ria of that dar. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a fascinating tshuva. He's talking about the ribuah of the tefillin. And the shaila is, how square does the ribuah of the tefillin have to be? So, and what's and more so the question is it a maila to go ahead and get exact measuring tools to go ahead and to measure the ribuah of the tefillin? Or is it sufficient to go ahead and to measure tefillin that, that they look square, they are square? So first Rabbi Moshe says that the Gemara says very clearly, when the Gemara figures out what's the definition of square, the Gemara says that something square has a diagonal of 1.4. Now the Metzius is that the truth is that a perfect square, the diagonal of the square, will be slightly more than 1.4. So Bechlau Rabbi Moshe wants to say that the Torah gave, the Chazal gave, a non-accurate shear, because the pshat is because that's sufficient. That even if the angle is 1.4, the diagonal of the square is 1.4, which means that it's slightly rectangular, because in a perfect square, the diagonal would be a little more than that. So Bechlau, the Chazal are telling us that this is sufficient. But Rabbi Moshe goes on to say that Avada, square means that it looks square. And to go ahead and to use specialized tools to measure the exact squareness of the tefillin, avadid is no chiv, and not only is the no chiv, Rabbi Moshe, it's not even a hider. That's not where the Torah is mechayev you. It's not even a hider to go ahead and to measure them and to make them perfectly square. He quotes the Gemara in Bechayis that according to the Man Yomu holds that Maisa b'nei Adam is EF Shalat Samtem, that man-made things can never be exact. So, how did they build the Kalim in the Beis Mikdash? How did they build the Mizbech in the Beis Mikdash? The Gemara says, Rachman Amar Ovid, the Avi said, do it to the best of your ability. However, that you can do it to the best of your ability, that is sufficient by the Rebbeinu Shleil. And that's kosher l'chatchila. It's not more l'chatchila to go ahead and to measure. And if fears eis, upela masha kosek feite rosai, sha'agriz ha'levi datzal ha'yosover she'esh ma'ilik sh'yim du ribuot film and microscope. In other words, Biskarov held not like this. Biskarov held the squarer it is a gress or a ma'ila. Ramesha disagrees. Ramesha says that it's not even a ma'ila. Shleim Zalman also writes in Halicha Shleima that Ribuah HaTfilin Ein Tzorach LaHakbet Shiyu Beduik Lefik Lea Medina, one does not have to be makbid that the tefillin are square according to a measuring machine, Ela Kol Shneir L'Ayin Shem Merubah Sagi. As long as it appears to be square, then it's halachically okay. So basically, what we're coming out is that Psulei Chaser, one has to look very carefully, one has to look very close up. If the mitzias is chaser, then it's not al kicha tamla, it's not complete. But again, it has to be something which can be seen with the naked eye, not with a magnifying glass. And again, if one sees a shayla, and then one looks at the magnifying glass and sees it's chaser, now one realizes that what they were seeing was taka chaser, so now they can see it with the naked eye, it'll taka be a chaser. The same with bugs. That if one looks carefully, he finds the bug, just and then he sees the black dot. He's just not sure if it's a bug until he takes a magnifying glass and that bug is usher. But again, if it's totally on chaser, it's totally the mitzias is nikra by the naked eye with the best looking closely one possibly can do. Masha enkein by hadar, the psulei hadar are totally in what one sees when one's holding the esrig in their hands and looking at Bahashkofa Rishaina, that Bahashkofa Rishaina one does not see the dot, then halachically that dot is not considered to be there. A magnifying glass may not be used to determine the color black or brown, unless after you use the magnifying glass, you now can recognize that it's brown from that Hashkofa Rishaina look. both according to Rav Moshe and to Rav Shlomo Zalman, if the tefillin looks square, it is square, and there's not even a hinder to go ahead and to measure exactly. The Rizkir Rav held that it was a hinder to go ahead and to measure exactly to make sure that it is 100% square.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.